Okay, so we're going to start with step one. We're going to start with what's an alcoholic? What's an alcoholic? What makes us alcoholic? What differs us from the average temperate drinker, from the moderate drinker, and from the hard drinker to what is the real alcoholic? What is the difference? When Bill Wilson set up AA at the very beginning, it was for the chronic, powerless alcoholic, the ones that could not stop for any and all reason. So that's why AA was started in the early days of 1935. This is what brought us together. And what they found was they found a solution through going through the Oxford Group and getting the Oxford Group tenants. They found a program of action that could recover us from a problem that's centered in our mind and not in our body. All of the steps work for the mind and not the body. When we talk about step one, we're going to talk in a doc about the doctor's opinion about the allergy or the abnormal reaction to alcohol. That's what makes me alcoholic. It's not so much my mind, it's the abnormal reaction I get inside my body. So the minute I take one drink, I automatically crave another drink. So once I start, I can't stop. So the trick is, or the plan is, or the program is don't pick up that first drink. And unless I treat the condition that centers on my mind, I'm going to continue picking up that drink, which is why we keep relapsing. People keep relapsing because they don't understand what alcoholism is. They don't smash home step one and understand the real core of the problem of why we've got it, right? I hear many people share at meetings that I was born alcoholic. You can't be born alcoholic. You can't be born with the allergic reaction to alcohol. That comes in a doctor's opinion, once having formed the habit. Once we form the habit of taking that drink and getting that elusive feeling of the sense of ease and comfort that Silver explains by taking a few drinks. But because we've got an allergic reaction to taking a drink, when we take one drink, we crave another. In the early days of AA, when all this was going about in the early 30s or mid-30s, Dr. Silverwell studied the alcoholics for around 50,000 alcoholics, and he took a journal to see what an alcoholic was and why we kept doing it and why we couldn't stop and why we kept repeating the experiment with the first drink. And his conclusion came up with a letter that he put in a story, in his opinion. And it was, we have this phenomenon of craving. The phenomenon's explained as an unexplainable event. Because back in 1935 to 39, they couldn't explain why we did it. They couldn't explain why we kept taking that experiment of the first drink. Nowadays, we know that it sits in our system long enough, the alcohol, and it creates an actual physical craving with the breakdown of the acetone, the acetate levels. So because they sit in our system longer than a normal drinker, where it actually creates a craving for more drink. That's what makes me alcoholic. Now, once I've got that symptom, once I've got that allergic reaction, I can't cure it. The reason we're never cured of alcoholism is because that symptom is untreatable. The only way that we can treat the allergy is to not pick up that first drink. That's the only way we can treat it. So we've said that what we keep trying to do is we want to get a sense of ease and comfort by taking a few drinks that we see others taking with impunity. And I shared the other night, impunity means without punishment. Normal people, moderate and heavy drinkers, don't drink and get punished. We lose our houses and our kids and our finances and our jobs and our wives and our husbands. And it creates all these sort of dramas because we can't stop. And we don't know why we keep doing it. So when we're going to go through the book and the steps in the book, we're going to understand what centers in my mind, what makes my mind, I was going to say trigger, what makes my mind determine that first drink, to take that first drink. Because any normal person would take a drink. If there was a consequence or a problem or carnage, they wouldn't do it again. The wife I've got today is not an alcoholic. She can go out and get drunk, and there might be some consequences and problems, but she's so hungover the next day, she won't do it for a week, 2 weeks, 2 months. She won't even drink for a year. But we keep going back to that experiment with the first drink. And in the early days when I first got sober, I didn't know why I kept doing it. I didn't know why I kept doing the same thing and getting the same result or expecting a different result and always getting drunk. And I didn't understand why I got that, why I was like that. It's only when I come to AA and people explained about the book, they explained about, Keith, you've got this allergic reaction. Whenever you take one drink, you're going to crave another. And they always say the first drink does the damage. Why? Because once that goes into my system, we go through the well-known stages of spree, coming out remorseful, mumbling, never to do that again. And that's exactly what happens. When I wake up that next day and I've caused all my problems, I say to the wife, I'm really sorry, I'll never do that again. The fog clears, I feel a bit better, and I go back to it, and I do it again. Silkworth said this is repeated over and over. And unless we can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope. I'm 23 years sober. I was 23 years sober last month. And in the time I've been sober, I've seen many people come and go. Many people die as a result of going back and relapsing and think they know better and think they're going to control it this time. And this time's going to be different because they've not understood step one. They've not understood why we need to smash in. What does it mean to smash home step one? Why do I need to understand what it's about? When a newcomer comes through the door, my job as a responsible sober member of AA, I call myself a recovered alcoholic. Why? Because I found the power. I found a God in my life that solved my problem that I couldn't do. The problem I couldn't do is I couldn't stay stopped. So on page 44, if you want to look into your book, it talks about, I'm going to read it out to you, but it might be an easier way to do it. So on page 44, it talks on there, on the first paragraph, right? It says, in the preceding chapters, you've learned something of alcoholism, which means we've got four chapters prior to this that's going to explain what alcoholism is and what it is. What's an alcoholic? What's not an alcoholic? Then it follows up and it says, these two questions, when I get a newcomer, this is how I'm going to qualify the newcomer. It says, if when you honestly want to, and you find you cannot quit entirely, it doesn't say a day at a time. So when you come to AA and you're going to quit, I'm asking you, do you want to stop forever? This is not a day at a time program. This is not a month at a time. When we come in and we'll go through the program, this is for life. Bill Wilson got sober on his third visit to Towns Hospital, and he never drunk again. He died 35 years sober. Dr. Bob sobered up 5,000 alcoholics in 15 years. He never drunk again because he came to AA with a desperation of drowning men. He was a powerless chronic alcoholic that could not stop. So when we smash on what step one is, the problem we got, and we can then see the consequences and who we affect and how we affect the finances, the job, the home. When we understand this, when we've got a sober mind and we start going through step one straight away, we're going to understand what we've got and why we keep repeating that experiment in the first drink. So it says, if when you honestly want to and you find you cannot quit entirely, why? Because that's my mind, because my mind is going to justify that next drink. On page 23 and page 30 and 151, it talks about the obsession. The obsession, right? It's not the obsession to alcohol. It's the obsession to control and enjoy my drinking. This time it's going to be different. So if when you honestly want to and you find you cannot quit entirely, why? Because my mind is going to justify it. My mind cannot see the consequences and the damage caused by taking that first drink because I can't remember it. The book talks about this subtle insanity that precedes the first drink. The subtle insanity is the mental blank spot. What the subtle insanity does is it blocks out the consequences. It blocks out the problems brought onto me with alcohol. So if I can't see the problems, I'm going to keep taking a drink. Because to me, my alcoholic life seems the only normal one. I'm going to take a drink. I'm probably going to get drunk. I'm going to drink to blackout. I don't really care because I can't see the problems. And the next day, the wife and the kids and the bank manager say, listen, you spent too much money, you're overdrawn, or you've caused problems, you've pissed in the sink, or you've done something else, or you've broke this, you've broke that, you've never come home. There's so many problems and consequences, and this mental blank spot, this insanity, cannot remember it. If I cannot remember the problems brought on by that first drink, I'm going to continue to do it. So when you come to AA, I'm going to ask you these two questions. Do you want to quit? And so can you stop for a year or more? That's your first question. If you can't stop and you say, no, Keith, I can't stop for a year or more, I'm going to ask you the next question. It follows up with, or if when drinking, so now you took the first drink, do you have little control over the amount you take? If so, you're probably alcoholic. So I ask you, can you take two or three and stop? No, I can't, Keith. Welcome to AA. You're an alcoholic. We're a hopeless chronic alcoholic that cannot take that first drink without problems and consequences. Without us, we see others drinking with impunity. They don't get the carnage and the problems. Only us get that. Now, I can't see that. So when I'm talking about step one, I can't see what happens. It says in step one that admitted that we were powerless over alcohol. What does that mean? That means I've not got the power to see the truth. The insanity of the mental blank spot wins over every time, and I cannot see the consequences. I'm powerless over it. I'm powerless over my thinking, right? When I come to AA, I thought it was all about my drinking. Turns out it's my thinking. All the steps work for the mind and not the body. So I can't see the truth in how I drink. If I can't see the consequences, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm powerless over my thinking. And then it says that my life has become unmanageable. So a little M dash. I'm powerless over alcohol with a little M dash. The M dash means as a result of. So as a result of my powerless condition, my life is unmanageable. But why? Because I keep drinking. I keep doing the same thing. I keep getting drunk. I keep causing problems. I keep affecting people. I keep affecting my finances. I don't understand why I keep doing it. My ex-wife said years ago, why do you do it? Why can't you just have two or three and stop? And I would say, I don't know. Because I didn't know until I come to AA, until I started to go through the book and the program and understand what I suffered with. I suffered this mental obsession that's going to justify every single time. And because I'm powerless over my thinking, the insanity wins out. It blocks out the consequences. And I take another drink. Let's flick to page 24. 24 is one of the big pages of an AA. If you want to go to page, go to page 24. I'm going to read this out here. Put my glasses on, your eyes are going, right? Page 24. From the top, not from the very top, the second paragraph says, the fact is, right? It's in italics. Bill Wilson put the word fact in. Fact means the truth. Because this is the truth in what we do and how we work, right? Top of page 24. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, because I can't see them, have lost the power of choice in drink. I'm powerless because I can't see the problems and I can't see the consequences and I can't see the pain at school. I can't see my financial problems. I can't see nothing. It's been recorded. I can't see nothing. If I can't see it, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm a chronic powerless alcoholic. I'm powerless, which means I'm hopeless, which means I'm godless. It means I haven't got the needed power in me to see the truth and now I take a drink. And the wife might tell me 20 times, Keith, you did this, you broke that, you've done this, you've done that. But easy to put it to one side because all I want to do is get a sense of ease and comfort by a few drinks that I'll see others taking with no problems, with impunity, without consequence. But to me, my alcoholic life is only the normal one. I can't see it. Make sense? You can nod and wave if you like, right? The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, lost the power of choice in drink and powerless. Our so-called willpower, right? I can't stop on my own willpower. If I could stop on my own willpower, I'd be a moderate drinker or a heavy drinker or a non-alcoholic. If I could stop on my own, I would have done it years ago. But I had to come to this pesky AA. I had to go through these pesky steps and pesky sponsor people. Why? Because it's the only thing that works. In the years that I drank, I tried every single thing to stop and it didn't work. My own willpower couldn't do it. The power within Keith could not stop me because I'm powerless over my thinking and not my drinking. Because it's my thinking that keeps sending me back there. It makes sense, you can wave, right? Okay. Our willpower becomes practically non-existent. No chance. Right. And here's the big one. He says we are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force of the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. I cannot bloody remember it. I cannot remember what I did. I see I was drinking with impunity. I cannot see it. So I keep bloody doing it. And then I lose the wife, and I lose the kids, and I lose the bank, and I lose the job. Why? Because I can't see the truth in my drinking. I am powerless over alcohol. I take one drink, I crave another. My mind can't see the truth, so it continues to do it because it can't see the damage and what's been done, what's been caused. It follows up and it follows off. It says, we are without defense against the first drink. My willpower can't stop me. My willpower cannot remember it. I haven't got the needed power inside of Keith to stop me picking up that first blooming drink. I don't swear nowadays. I used to swear. I try not to, right? I'm going to follow on and read a little bit more on the same page. It says that almost certain consequences that follow either a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. Why? Because I can't remember it. The subtle insanity, the mental blank spot, the peculiar mental twist, the curious mental phenomenon in the book. All this stuff talks about my mind and not my body. The body doesn't get spoke about. All of this is about my mind. It cannot see it. It's a mental blank. It's a peculiar mental twist. An obsession is going to justify it. The insanity is going to block it. And then we're away. Because when I take that first drink, I couldn't give a shit. I couldn't care less who I affect, what I do, because I just want a sense of ease and comfort. That's what I do. Now I'm sober and I'm looking at this stuff and I'm writing down, hold on, I've affected the wife and I've affected the kids and I've affected the in-laws and the parents and the bank manager and I've lost my job. Suddenly it makes a bit of sense. This is the problem you've got, Keith. It centers in your mind and you can't see the truth. And your mind is going to justify it for any and all reason. I don't need an excuse. I've had 100 different alibis for the reason I'm going to pick a drink up the wife, the kids. I'm going to argue. I used to argue just so if I argued with the wife, she'd fall out, she'd go upstairs and I'd get drunk. Because it would justify it. It's her bloody fault. She's done it. She's made me do this. The football, the work. I can blame the world. And in my head, I would justify it. But now I've got a sober mind. Now I look at the truth. Now I know I'm powerless over alcohol. Now I know my life is unmanageable because I keep bloody drinking. And I never turn up on time. And I never pay my bills. And I'm the most unreliable person in the world when I'm drunk, when I'm drinking, when I've got untreated alcoholism. The almost certain consequences that follow even taking a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind because the insanity won out, or the obsession won out. This time, Keith, you'll have 2 or 3. You're going to stop at 4. You're going to stop at 8 o'clock. I'm going to have a glass of milk and I'm going to have a nice big roast dinner. And then I'll take 2 or 3 drinks and that's all. And I justify it because I can't see the problems. I can't see the consequences. He said, if these faults do occur, they are hazily, readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that we're handling ourselves just like other people. The obsession, this time it's going to be different. I'm going to handle myself different because I know I can only have 2. I don't know I'm powerless. I don't know I've got an allergic reaction until I come to AA. But now I know I've got it. I can't claim ignorance because you guys have sat down and explained to me, Keith, you've got an allergic reaction. Whenever you take one drink, this is what happens. Let's look at your past. Let's ask your wife. Let's get your wife around here. Ask her what happened, and she will tell you now you're sober, right? He said, the alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time, so here's how. Why? Because I've got a full stomach. I've changed my brand or environment. This time it's going to be different. I'm going to take a day off. I'm not going to drink today. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us began to think in this nonchalant way, after the 3rd or 4th pound on the bar, said to ourselves, for God's sake, how did that happen? How many times have I done that? I'm going to have 1 or 2 drinks. I wake up the next day and go, what happened? How did I get to blackout? How did I end up sleeping on the floor, pissing myself? How did that happen? Because I can't remember it. I didn't plan it. I didn't plan to get like that. He said, only with that thought, I need to be surprised by it. Well, I'll stop at the 5th drink, or what's the point anyway? And the last little paragraph I'm going to read, he says, when this sort of thinking is fully established with an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he's probably placed himself beyond human aid. When this sort of thinking, what do I mean by this sort of thinking? It means once that obsession's on me, once that obsession is going to justify, well, Keith, you're going to have 2 or 3 drinks. You're going to get a sense of ease and comfort. There'll be no problems this time because I can't see it. When this sort of thinking is established with a guy without a woman with alcoholic tendencies, what are the tendencies? The obsession and insanity, which is the mind, and the allergy is the other symptom. Alcoholism has 2 symptoms. It's not a spiritual symptom. Nothing to do with spiritual. The spiritual part is the solution, not the problem. The problem is I have an allergic reaction to alcohol and I have this crazy malady. Malady in the book means sickness. I have this sick mind that's going to justify it. When I justify that next drink, this is what happens. The bottom of page 25. Okay, the last bottom paragraph. It says, if you are seriously alcoholic as we were, because the ones that wrote this book, this is in past tense. If you are seriously alcoholic as we were, have you got the obsession? And have you got the allergy? The powerless alcoholic, right? Yes, Keith, I've got that. We believe there's no middle of the road solution. Meetings don't do it. Let me tell you, you can't take steps 1, 2, and 3 and go, you know what? I found God, I'm going to be all right. Many people do. Many people do half measures. They don't take the rest of the program. They don't do a thorough step 4. That sentence started with if. I circled it because the book gives you all these ways out. If you're ready, if when. If is the biggest word in the book because it gives you the get out clause, because we all want to get out and have the easiest, softer way. I don't really need to step forward. I don't really need to find God. I don't really need to sponsor. I don't. If. And you relapse and you die. Alcoholism will kill us 100%. When I'm working with a new person, I'm going to tell you this dead straight. You do it and survive, or you don't do it and die. When people come to me, we do 6 weeks and we're through step 12. 6 weeks. There's no 6 months. The book is really clear. At once, next. It tells us when we go through steps 3 and 4 in a few weeks' time, how fast we should be doing this, how quick. If you've got an abscess, right? You've got an abscess and you're in so much pain and you go to the doctor and he says, listen, I'm going to give you these antibiotics. You take 2 a day for 5 days and it's cleared up. He doesn't say, listen, I'm going to give you these antibiotics. You take 1 a month, read the doctor's opinion, and it will clear up in 6 times. And you suck there with that big, massive ulcer. You wouldn't do it. We have an illness that's going to kill us. We have a mind that's going to justify the next drink. But I'll treat that condition as quick as possible. Dr. Bob will do it in 3 days. Bill Wilson a week. That's how quick they went for the program. You have to be fearless and thorough and willing. With a desperation of drowning men to want to live and want to die. I come to AA for one reason only. I'll tell you this is the truth. One reason, because I wanted to live. I came here when I was 39. I'm now 38, I think, in my head. Come here when I was 39, right? True story. And I was battered. I was dying. I was down to 12 stone. And I was a 90 stone bodybuilder before that. I was 12 stone. I was beat. I came here and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do 3 months of rehab and I'm going to go back to London and things are going to be great and that'll be that. Then I learned about this stuff. I have this illness that's going to kill me at any opportunity. If I'm not spiritually fit, this will get me 100%. 100%. We have one solution for one problem. I can't help you with your other stuff, your gambling and your heroin addiction. I can't do that. I can help you with your alcoholism. Or Alcoholics Anonymous, we have one solution for one problem. Alcoholism is in two parts. The allergy is untreatable. I'm 23 years sober, and even now I know. Silkworth said, we can't take alcohol in any form, in cakes, in sweets. We can't cook in wine. You might think you can do that. I wouldn't want to live in your head. It's complete abstinence. Why do I want to play with fire, right? If you are seriously alcoholic, as we are, on the bottom of 25, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. You would do it or you don't. And if we are passed into the region for which there is no return through human aid, means we're powerless. If I've got to the point where I've lost the power of choice in drink, which we read on page 24, I can't do it on my own. It's not a self-help program. There's one way out. For 6 weeks, we're going to smash this through in 6 weeks. It don't take long. It ain't difficult. It's really quite simple. I sponsor a lot of people. There's a lot of people on this group that have gone through the lineage that we go through. My sponsor was Joe McQuinney from Joe and Charlie. We are pure with the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's how we work, right? The last four lines is important. He said we have two alternatives. Doesn't say choices, right? Two alternatives. You're going to go this way or that way. It's not a choice what you're going to do because we've lost the power of choice. We have but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, drinking, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could because it ain't really that bad. My drinking ain't really that bad. I might have lost a wife and the kids and I might be skint and I might be in debt and I might have lost my job, but it's not that bad because I'm still, and I'm, yeah, it might not be that bad. It's just all on the up, or we could. And the other, we could accept spiritual help. Spiritual help. We have a solution. Then we start talking about God and all that. And that's where people go, oh, I'm not having all that God stuff. But when we explain to you, you've got no power. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life is unmanageable because I keep doing the same stuff over and over. It's important that we understand it. It's important that we smash into our innermost self. We're alcoholic. I can't mess around with this stuff. I can't dick about with this stuff. It will kill me, 100%. I've been around long enough to understand what I suffer with. When people start talking about the spiritual malady, I've got this spiritual malady. It's not part of step one. The spiritual malady is really quite simple to understand. People don't get it. People share the wrong stuff, get the wrong misinformation. The information is so pure and so easy to understand. We have an allergy that we can't treat. The book says more about autism. It says, we're like men that have lost our legs. They never grow new ones. You can't treat the allergy. When you've got it, you've got it. It never goes away. The mind's the main problem, because the main problem centers in my mind, because that's what justifies it. Next week, when we start going through step two and step three, we're going to understand about the malady that centers in my mind. Malady means sickness. So let me just flick to page 23, right? On page 23, we're going to go halfway down. We're going to read from once in a while, right? Okay, halfway down 23, he says, once in a while, he may tell the truth, right? How often did we tell the truth? How often did I tell my wife, well, you know what, I don't know what happened. I'm going to always lie, right? Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, he usually has no more idea why he took the first drink than you have. Truth. Why'd you do it, Keith? I don't know. I haven't got a reason. I haven't got an alibi. Because 9 times out of 10, I just want a drink to give me a sense of ease and comfort. Take the edge off the day. Unbeknown to me, I've got an allergy to alcohol that prevents that. I don't take the edge off. I get smashed, right? Some drinkers have excuses which they are satisfied part of the time. The rest of it is in my head going, I should really be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I've got no defense against it. But in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. That's the truth. When this sort of thinking takes hold, I don't know why I keep doing it. I didn't understand why I kept doing it. I kept getting drunk and I couldn't understand why. I highlighted these next four lines because it says, once this malady, this sickness in my mind, once this malady has a real hold, they're a baffled lot. It's cunning, baffling, powerful alcoholism. I don't know why I keep doing it. So when she asked me, I don't know. I'm baffled. I'm confused. Why do you keep doing it? I don't know. Why? Because I'm an alcoholic. When I form the habit, my natural reaction is to take a drink. That's what happens, right? They're a baffled lot. He says, there's the obsession, first time. There's the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. It's an idea. It's an idea I'm going to beat the game. A thought. The obsession comes in, this mental sickness. It says, Keith, this time, listen, you've had an hard day at work. I work on a building site, laying bricks. It's a hard, sunny day. I deserve it. So I'm going to come home. I'm going to have 2 or 3 drinks. I'm going to justify it, and that's all. And I do that. When I take that one drink, the allergy kicks in, I get drunk. Didn't intend to. I'm a baffled lot, so I don't know why I keep doing it. But I keep doing it. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we need to talk about in step one, okay? We're powerless over alcohol because of our mind. The main problem center is in our mind. We have an allergic reaction when we take that one drink that we cannot touch, we cannot cure. I'm not cured of alcoholism because I've got this allergic reaction for life. I can't drink for life. I shared the other day about this guy. This guy down by me was 31 years old. 31 years. He'd been working, sponsoring. He stopped. He took his foot off the gas. He stopped doing what he should be doing. He picked a drink up. And I saw him at a meeting 6 or 8 weeks ago. He's now 6 years sober again, beating himself up because he knew what he should be doing. He understood what he had. He got complacent. He took his foot off the gas. The obsession come back and said, well, you've been 31 years. Surely it'll be different this time. Forgot what he'd been taught. And now he's 6 years sober as a result. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording. And we're going to do some.